Welcome everybody to another episode of the Back to the Office podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris Phelps, and my co-host and very good friend is Mr. Dave Horrocks.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Back to the Office, the show where we journey back to Slough's premier paper merchants, Wernham Hogg, where life is stationary. Now, Chris, we're going to tackle episode 3 this week, and this is the quiz. And I've got to ask you, you got any stories for us about quizzes?
I have, Dave, before we get into it. So, well, I remember going on a Christmas do. It was in Altrincham, near where you used to live, Dave, a place called Frank's. It was a French, like, bistro, really classy place. Like, you know, Altrincham always is on the verge of the footballers, you know, the Hale, Presbury, all where all the footballers live and everything. And you lived up there, so you know it really well. I worked for this Jewish company. They were all proper, like, a lot of them were Orthodox Jewish people. They had, you know, the skull caps on. They were dead, really posh, Dave. Really, really posh people. Like, you literally couldn't have a sense of humour. You know, it was really, like, business. Everything was business. Everything was business. And you couldn't, there's, like, no emotion from a lot of the people I work with. So we go on this works do, and it's, like, it's really classy place, French food. It's, like, Michelin-rated restaurant. And they'd hired the downstairs. So we're sat there, and these are our company, and then these are solicitors on the other side of the room. So there's like a dance floor in between. It's almost like a battle out of Game of Thrones, you know, like who's going to get on the dance floor first, because nobody was mingling. We didn't know them. They didn't know us. And they're doing a quiz, and the DJ's doing this quiz, and I can't remember what it was. It was around about 2004, something like that, doing the quiz, and everyone's sat having a good time. And then all of a sudden, Dave, all these managers, and we're talking like directors of the company now, just start throwing food like a carry-on film. And I am not joking. You know what I mean? I used when we used to go to town, right? I remember years ago, I used to get the beer mats. We used to dip them in our drink and throw them at people. And I remember causing a massive punch-up in the Lazy Pig in Manchester, not with us, Frank. We just sat there. Two rival people were having a scrap, and it was nothing to do. I was throwing... It's bad, Dave. Bad anyway. So I'm sat there. So I'm not adverse to throwing things at people. You know, like in the family, my dad would do it. You'd get a family doing, there's a buffet there, or my brother, and you get a fucking sausage roll on the side of your schnoz or something. You know, it's not, we're not adverse to that sort of thing. Or
easy if
you
target. Go to,
yeah, exactly. Walked straight into that. Then, right, anyway, you know, Dave, we'd be fucking bouncing off my nose all night, wouldn't it? But genuinely, so, or what you would do is you'd go to a family do, and if there was jacket potatoes on, you'd go and get a full jacket potato and just put it in someone's pocket and let them get home and go, what the fuck? So it was all them sort of tricks. So I'm not adverse to that sort of thing. So we're at this thing, and I'm sat there, and I wasn't doing nothing. I was doing fuck all. I was just sat there having a drink, and all of a sudden, ice just clicked me on the shoulder. It hit someone. Then there was food going. But it wasn't like, say, this isn't buffet food, Dave. This is like proper top food. So one of the women ended up with like part of a steak with like the peppered salt on a dress. And it was just like a carry-on film. And I'm like, these people are so serious and so fucking miserable. The other company got involved so much so that the bouncers had to come down, and it just kicked off. You're never coming back here again. And I know it doesn't sound thingy, but just to be sat there in amazement thinking, you lot are acting like you're from Old Trafford, where I'm from, and these were loaded people. So, and that was from a quiz. I can't remember whether someone got a question wrong or they were arguing over who won like you all do, but yeah, it proper kicked off. It was hilarious, honestly.
I mean, ultimately, alcohol is a great leveller, isn't it?
Yeah. All the inhibitions dropped, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can think that was kind of like that kind of ruckus atmosphere that you get in this episode is an office Christmas do, Chris, probably, and I'll only pick one. But one in particular comes to mind where... I think this was about 2003, 2004-ish. And, you know, we used to give a little bit of our salary. We used to have this, like, sports and social club. So you had this little committee, and they would sort out, you know, different events throughout the year. But, you know, they generally sort out the Christmas do's and the entertainment and stuff. And I just remember this comedian. And we were all having dinner. We'd all been sat there for ages. There was loads of wine on the table, you know, and I from my own perspective, we were all a bit younger then, so I couldn't take wine particularly well back then. So we were all a little bit fucking pissed, to be quite honest. And this comedian was on, and Chris, he was just shit. I mean, he was just crap. And so all the tables are just talking between themselves. You know, it's a fucking Christmas do, so you're catching up. You know, you're catching up with people who, you know, generally you're discussing work with them in the office kind of thing. And, you know, you're outside and you're just getting to know the actual people. And then this guy from the fucking sports and social club about three times gets up to the mic. Please, can you all just be quiet? You know, this guy's here, he's telling the jokes. You have to listen to them. It's like, oh, fuck off. You know? It's like, if you had fucking Peter Kay up there or someone actually funny, you know, we'd all be watching the act and laughing. But because he was just so shit. And I just remember, because, you know, obviously in the office environment, we'd all be like, oh, yeah, we best do what we're told. And, you know, let's be quiet and pay attention. And it's like, well, because you've all got a load of beer down here and wine and stuff, a mixture of all that and just, you know, lack of food because everything's taking a bit longer. And everyone's just like, oh, fuck off. But, Chris, we open up this episode. And it's Tim's birthday, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's hit that milestone. He's hit that big 3-0. And he gets, you know, showing off proudly his present from his mum, his old Hat FM there.
Yeah, I think I might have got myself something better. And I bought myself something better than a fucking hat, Dave. You know?
Makes me laugh. Jones, like, why are you in so early? You shit the bed.
Yeah, and then Tim says, not recently. Yeah.
But we get this kind of play, don't we? Because, you know, the whole episode is just over this one day. And so it keeps reoccurring about his birthday. But, of course, you get another reoccurring theme of this episode, Chris. And we'd heard his name in previous episodes. But, of course, we get to meet him in this one. It's Finchie. And the very first mention of him, you get David Brent. He's on the phone. Of course, you know, Finchie's... Brent's relaying to the camera what Finchie's fucking racist joke is. And he's like... I have to say, Chris, Ricky Gervais's delivery of this, I think, is so good. And the fact that, you know, he hasn't got this kind of orthodox acting approach. He's got this way of speaking that's just very, very natural. And he's kind of like, he's not always finishing a sentence, you know, where he's saying like, oh, yeah, it's not racist. All right, I'll see you tonight. It's just absolutely brilliant.
It is, you know, Dave, you're so right. I mean, look, there's a couple of things in this episode, especially, I mean, that joke, there's no way. And the whole point of this show, because it's satire, it's playing on the fact that even in 2021, Dave, there's still people who act like that in offices, still people who think them sort of jokes are hilarious, especially if you're sort of mid-50s or something like that. There's plenty of guys I've worked with who act that way. And like you say, Ricky Gervais, his observational comedy is so good. His use of his body to deliver what he thinks is going to be a hilarious line, but then actually repeats what Finchie said. Obviously, we know it's a dummy phone call, like as they're filming.
Yeah.
It's so good. And it's not something like 20 years later, you're like, oh, that's fucking shit. It is hilarious. This episode is one of the best just for ridiculous things going on through the whole. Honestly, it's so stupid and I love it. I like the way you said, we've had two episodes building up about Chris Finch being like, absolutely, what a guy. And he's fucking horrible to David, isn't he? He's horrible. Yeah. I actually feel quite sorry for Brent in this episode, I must admit.
You know what, Chris? They pack so much into a 30-minute episode, don't they? Because we've only watched two episodes, but we feel like we know. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, back to the first time, not now when I've watched this episode, tens of times of this. But they've told that story and you've got to know all these characters. And you going into this episode, you're thinking, David Brent, you are a prime fucking see you next Tuesday. And then when he's contrasted to Finchy, you realised, well, yeah, he's just a bit of a knob, isn't he? He's not particularly malicious, not in the same way that Finchy is, because Finchy is just pure nasty. And when he shows up, you know, and Brent thinks he's like his best mate kind of thing, but he comes in and straight away he's like doing the impressions of him and stuff, isn't he? He's like, oh, look at you, you fat bastard. And, you know, he's so fat, he jumps in the air and gets stuck. And then he's doing the big fat impression and he's like, look at me, I'm David Brent.
Yeah, but then you've got... It's the way fucking Brent's teed it up, though, isn't he? Like, there's some absolute comedy double. I love that line about there's no straight man in it there, duo.
There's no dead wood.
It's so fucking brilliant. And you're right, it's the fact that we go to the first episode, he's explaining about himself, a little bit about the business. So he's now got in a rhythm of thinking that he's on telly as a comedy genius. And that's like, you're fucking running fucking business.
And more so characters, much. And he does gags.
Yeah. What would you say about me and you then?
I don't know.
I'm the gobshite.
I think I'm the straight man, aren't I?
Yeah, and I think I think so. I think I'm just the dickhead. It says anything.
Or both dead wood. I'm not quite sure. Depends who you speak to. But no,
I agree with you, Dave.
But yeah, fucking, that is brilliant. Like Morecambe and Wise, but there's no straight man. There's no dead wood. I just fucking love that. Absolutely love it. But, you know, Brent actually, you know, he tops himself here because, you know, when he's trying to be that empathetic boss, you know, because he's a bit preoccupied, isn't he? He's so excited. He's like a little school kid waiting for Father Christmas to turn up. And, you know, Finchy's going to come. Oh, it's going to be so good. And we're going to do the quiz. And he's getting all this. And it's mostly Dawn, isn't it? She's the one who keeps reminding people it's Tim's birthday, you know, and she got him a card and everything. And but when Brent comes over to Tim and he's like, oh, I know what you're thinking, I'm 30, you know, I've got a rubbish job, and when will it change? And then, and he just does, you talk about the body comedy, kind of gestures with his hand around, he's like, look at me, I'm the manager of a successful paper merchant now. And you're thinking, oh, Tim must just be thinking, if I jump out that window, am I going to break enough?
It's funny, you know, because when I've watched this, like when I first watched it, I always thought Tim was the hero of the whole thing because he was like the only one, him and Dawn, who were absolutely just normal. You know, everyone else, like honestly, Dave, Gareth reminds me of this guy. When, like obviously I've said before, that the last 16 years I've worked in a mainly manual job, but when I did work in offices, I remember starting at telecoms place, and there was a lad there, and he not nothing like Gareth. He was short, stocky. He was actually from Liverpool, and this isn't picking Liverpool. He had a goatee, so he almost looked like David Brent, but he didn't have the hair. His hair had pretty much gone, and he didn't act like Brent. He acted like Gareth. So I remember sitting there, and like obviously I'm from Old Trafford. I'm streetwise. I'm not a bloody fight or anything, but you know you know how to look after it. I remember sat there one day in the office because most people who work in offices they always have these stories. They have to try and validate themselves. Most guys do that. They're some tough guy or whatever because they're pushing paper all day. They seem to feel like they have to say, well, actually, I had a fight a weekend, or I did this, or I did rugby or boxing. I don't know why, but I've come across loads of people who have to validate that. I remember him saying all these stories, Dave, about him being in the fucking army and the TA, and he was a doorman and everything. And then he ended up getting sacked. And one of the lads, and one of the lads went, did you ever buy any of that shit? And I worked with sales. I was the buyer. And I was like, not really, no. I think if you've got to keep talking, and he used to, like Gareth, like Dave, like, yeah, I choked this guy out at weekend. And everyone would be like, oh, right, okay, mate. And there was one lad who was completely believed him. And the more he believed him, the more the stories come, Dave. I was expecting him to say, like, I was hid in a tree one night with camo on, the fucking with a big knife in my teeth, like Rambo or something. You know, it went on and on. The stories were just fucking outrageous. And everyone would just sit there like, oh, here we go. It's fucking Jack and I think one of the lads was like going, at one point, one of the lads kept going, Jack and Nori every time. It was ridiculous.
Well, we do get a bit of that, don't we? But Brent's sort of teed him up because he's going on about his, you know, youth being over, and he's saying it could be worse. There's a neighbour of mine, Kelvin. He's 32 and still lives with his parents. And then Tim's like, I live with my parents. And straight away, before Tim's even finished saying it, Brent's like, cherish them. Because you'll miss them when you're not around. You know, my parents are dead. But then we find out, well, not really dead. You know, his dad's in a home, and, you know, he had to come out because he thought a Japanese sniper was on the roof. And that's when you get Gareth, you know, getting it in there about, that's where I'd be.
Is that when he does that gesture as if his head's blowing off there? He's like, with his hand.
You wouldn't even see him. And then he just does that thing where it's like, comes in. It's quite good, actually, isn't it? Good visual kind of.
Yeah, it is. It is, to be fair. I tell you what, though, Dave, you know what you say about Finchie being an absolute bastard and not alike? He's a lovable character, as in the dynamic of the show, but like when you watch him, he's not an, he's a typical salesman. He's just a wanker, you know, he's a horrible guy driven by his targets and just basically, and it's so well that Ricky Gervais and Ralph have actually framed him in that way, because he's like a most sales director or sales managers on the road by 100. It's just, I've come across so many people when I was a buyer like that. It just, you know, people pulling up in Audi TTs and just thinking they're fucking brilliant when they are, honestly, arses. But I actually think, Dave, the person I hate the most in The Office is Lee. He is proper. You don't see it and you don't hear it, but he has proper got a controlling nature over Dawn. And I think the way they frame that inside a comedy that you don't like him is brilliant.
I mean, he is a bit of a prick, isn't he? You know, we saw him in the last episode, you know, he was there when they were being fucking sexist to Jennifer, you know, and they were like, you know, him and Taffy were there, you know, it was, I can't remember which way round it was, but it was Taffy's dog shagging Lee's dog or the other way round or something like that. And he just is a bit of a bell end, isn't he? But, you know, he comes in and he actually brings in Tim's present, doesn't he? Which is the huge, giant inflatable cock. And he's like, oh, it's not from me. And I think I don't think he annoys me quite as much as Finchie, just because he doesn't say as much. But he is a bit of a bell end, isn't he? And he's certainly not very nice to Dawn at all.
No, and it's when he says, I don't know if it was this episode, or when he says about, we're going to have two kids and that, and my mum's going to look after him, and you're going to think, and he's like, he's laid, and you can see Lucy Davis's delivery day, he's looking at the camera like, what the fuck, you know?
But he says, we'll move in with my mum, you know, and Dawn will get a couple of kiddies under her belt. And then she can get a part-time cleaning job. And then, you know, Dawn's like, oh, yeah, living the dream. And Tim dares to laugh then, doesn't he? And that's when Lee turns a bit, doesn't he? He's like, what are you laughing at? No, I'm not having a go at you. But, you know, you think you're a big shot or something like that. So, yeah, there is that nasty streak to Lee, absolutely. But I've got to say, Chris, you know, we've laughed a bit because Brent's comedy generally falls pretty flat, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But when he grabs the big inflatable cock, I think he does a decent job there. Completely fucking inappropriate for the boss to do. but he's like, exterminate.
No. The funniest line for me is when Thomas the Tank Engine comes into town. I don't know why. I was fucking crying. I don't know why. It's so stupid.
But he rattles off three there, because the other one's like, brilliant. I'm the naked mini-me. And Gareth grabs it, doesn't he? And Brent's like, don't grab it if you don't have anything to say. It slows it down. Yeah, yeah. So he's probably on stage in his mind, isn't he, Brent?
Oh, it's hilarious. It's like, it's whose line is it anyway? It's so good. And I love this bit when Brent's talking about, you know, you're old, the old woman you feel, and he says, you know, and Gareth says so, and then he's like, are you just stealing my catchphrases?
Yeah. And he's like, I heard you say that the other day, and I thought, you know, oh, he's using my catchphrases, and I don't mind that, you know, but I usually credit someone for using their comedy. He says something about, like, you know, another comedian. Oh, you're not a comedian. Like, as if he is.
Dave, imagine being in an office with somebody like that, a boss. It's ridiculous. I remember there was a show on the BBC. Did you ever see, after The Office finished, did you ever see the call centre one in Wales? I think it was like Cardiff or Swansea. The big guy called Noel, he was a fucking loon.
No.
Oh, he was... It was a real business. So it was, he wasn't even like David Brent. He was like fucking Basil Fawlty or something. But he,
I was saying. Actually, it does ring a bell now that you're saying that.
Oh, he was called, I think, sure he was called Noel or something. And he was about 6'4". And it was basically like a PPI place. And it was run like fucking The Office. At least The Office is, you know, a fake. Mm. I've never seen any. Because I remember going straight from The Office, watching it and thinking, this guy is like a version of David Brent, but with Basil Fawlty thrown in. Me and Sam were engrossed by it. I watched a couple of series of it. It was, I'll have to find it, but it was so ridiculous and it was brilliant. It ran on the coattails of The Office because it was actually a real business. But yeah, so bizarre.
Yeah. And that's the thing with this, isn't it? Because again, you just recognize, all right, that, you know, they're written lines, you know, it is played out for comedy. But it is so, so close to real life. You know, that's why it's just so brilliant. And honestly, I've really enjoyed going back and watching it, because I haven't watched it for a couple of years now. And it just never gets any worse. I never get bored of it. But, I mean, we do get, you know, I called out in the first episode, you know, it was a signal. When he had that little kind of racist scene when he's going on about, you know, the guy, you know, who does the Ali G impressions. And I said, you know, that was the signal for me that nothing is off limits here. And you get the old talking head, and Brent's trying to, you know, he's talking about his comedy, and he's saying, you know, there are limits to my comedy, you know, the handicapped. And then he says things that are almost right. You know, he almost gets it right. He's talking about defending people who are handicapped, and he goes on about, you know, he's going on about, well, at least they're able-minded. And then it pauses for a bit.
Okay.
And then he goes, unless he's not. You know, it's difficult to tell with the wheelchair ones. And I was just like, oh, fucking hell. Did he just really say that? Oh, it's so fucking wrong, Chris.
Oh, it's so bad. You know what, Dave? I've just had a quick blimp as well as you talk. He's called the call. 2013, he's called Nev Wilshire, not Noel. Unbelievable. He got done in the end for breaching rules on call centres, but what a show. Yeah, what a show. He was in Swansea. But anyway, but no, you're right. Brent, he tries so hard, doesn't he, to be that guy. And also... Yeah. Through the episode, Dave, you know, we've got the temp Ricky who says he's been on Blockbuster. Fucking Dostoevsky, he keeps saying to him, don't he, coming out asking stuff. And he can tell he's gone on fucking Google and he's trying to find stuff. No,
see, I missed this the first time. He's got you'd see a little, like a split second, he's on the screen and he's going through an old school encyclopedia. Because this is 2001, isn't it? Like now, you just go straight onto Google on your phone.
Yeah.
Brilliant. You know, it's then that I realised this tall student, Ricky, is basically Stephen Merchant. Because you know Stephen Merchant was on Blockbusters?
Yep. You sent it me. I've seen it before, but you sent it me recently, didn't you?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And so I just thought, because the actor playing Ricky is quite tall, isn't he? You know, and I just thought, oh, I wonder if that's, you know, him being himself. And you can tell that, you know, Brent is quite intimidated. He's got a bit of an inferiority complex. He's trying to play it up, isn't he? He's saying, oh, you know, were you part of the two? Or, you know, cause it's always a bit cheating. He's like, no, no, it's the one. And saying, you know, what do they call it on Blockbusters? Was it the Gold Rush or Gold Run or something like that?
Gold Run.
And Brent's like, oh, I usually get five, you know. But this back and forth, you know, he's trying to think up of a question, isn't he? And he knows the answer is Dostoevsky. And then Ricky gives him a question, you know, that he could have asked that the answer would have been Dostoevsky. And then it just sets him off, doesn't it? You know, and he keeps going away, looking up his little encyclopedia for some more facts. And then he goes back and Ricky just pulls something out of his arse, you know, from actual knowledge. And Brent's like, oh, yeah. And he's looking at his watch. He's like, oh, yeah, just got to get off. And he keeps going back. Oh, you know, we were talking about Dostoevsky before, you know, born in 18, whatever it was. It's just fucking brilliant, Chris.
It's fucking ace, Dave. It so is. And that leads on to, like, obviously Gareth's writing the quiz, isn't he? And he's talking about that fucking, the controversy that, you know, Finchie and David have won it, haven't they, for years. And it's about Dr. Spock, and they actually had to go home, that David, to prove that he was half human and half Vulcan to win the quiz. And when fucking Tim, and Dave, you know full well that there's people we have met in our lives like that who will will not admit defeat. And I think it's hilarious. And I love the fact that when they're just saying to Gareth, about fucking if a military man could give you a lethal blow, and obviously so about a blowjob, even if he's coming really hard from behind, and then Tim's pissing himself because him and Dawn together with Gareth, it's brilliant comedy. And I said to you before, the first two series, I mean, obviously there was only two series really, and the specials, but you don't see Tim, you don't see Mackenzie Crook, you know, Gareth, because obviously they went on to bigger and better things, I suppose, didn't they? It was a platform for their careers, but what a shame they were never brought back for anything, because there's just so, they work so well with David and that, it's so good. And as a subplot, I'm sure there's people out there listening who have seen this. I've never seen it before, but I'm working my way through. David Brent goes to Microsoft as a speaker, and it's Stephen Merchant on screen with him.
Good.
I've watched two episodes now. They think there's three or four. It's so good. It's just an extension of the show. It's absolutely brilliant. When they're talking about managing director of Microsoft, doing what, 40, 50 grand? And Stephen Merchant's going, no, a bit more than that. Would I get a car? I only want a Mondeo. And it's so good. If you get a chance, guys, get on YouTube. It's on there. It's David Brent visits Microsoft or something like that. It's so good.
Yeah, it's so clever because they've obviously done this, you know. They must have caught it after season one because I don't think they'd be able to afford it now. They're just playing. David Brent is playing himself. Stephen Merchant's just playing someone who's interviewing him. And it looks like something that Microsoft UK had sponsored, you know, to probably show you all of the things not to do, you know. But it's just classic Brent in that, so it is well worth watching. Like I say, there's four of them, and you know, I won't spoil it too much, but on the last one, you know, Merchant is basically, he's invited, you know, Brent's doing the old, you know, come on, just insult me, you know, I'll just wash it off kind of thing. But then Merchant starts going for it and he just doesn't stop. He's just like, oh yeah, finding this quite good, and he just keeps, he's got you with your little pug face and fat face and pug nose and whatever.
It's so good. It is brilliant.
But yeah, I mean, you can tell straight away when Finchie meets Ricky, you know, again, he's got that fucking massive chip on his shoulder, hasn't he? You can tell he's not gone to university, but he reads a book a week, apparently, you know, and he's like, he's obviously got his eye on him, hasn't he? And, you know, again, you can see he's a proper misogynistic prick as well, because Dawn had bent down for something and he's like, oh, you're all right down there, love. Oh, give me half an hour with her, I'll be up to my nuts and guts. You know, and you're just like, you fucking prick, you know what I mean? And I think, just again, there is nothing wasted. There are no lines from Finchie where you don't just think you are an absolute twat.
Yeah. Yeah, that and that's perfect, Dave. It's in the delivery of it all as well, but it's brilliant acting and the writing is sensational. And I think as well, though, Dave, like you get to the quiz, fucking them two together, and they're doing that Monty Python stuff, and it's just shit, isn't it?
Daisies, yeah, and Gareth's like thinking, oh, yeah, Monty Python.
They're off. Oh, here they are, they're off. Everyone else is just deadly silent, aren't they? And then fucking Gareth's framing of the questions, Dave, are all military. It's brilliant.
Oh, I don't know why. You know, when I think the reason this has got such rewatchability, Chris, is I just find different things about it funny. And the fact that Gareth, we've talked about him being obsessed, you know, and him thinking being part of the TA. And if you're listening from the US, the TA is like the part-time army. You go away for the weekend and stuff. You know, you could get called up for action, but, you know, it's not the real army. And he says, in the mid-1960s, the US Army replaced all existing infantry guns with the M16 rifle. Which fixed rate repeat fire machine gun? I was just watching it this time thinking, I think I'd be done. At that point, I'd just be like, you know what, fuck this, where's the bar?
You know what, actually, I have got a quiz story now, you just said it, it's just pricked my brain. So the Christmas before lockdown, so Christmas 2019, Dave, I got tasked, because you know me, I do a quiz with a family, don't I? I get dressed up, I go to the charity shop, I buy the worst fucking prizes ever. So I buy Cliff Richard records, I buy stupid DVDs, I'll buy like half a boot, or I'll buy, you know, just ridiculous things. I have a budget of a tenner, and I go in and I buy a load of shit, and everyone gets ridiculous prizes. I think the last time we did a quiz, someone got how to pleat net curtains or something, DVD I found for like 50p. So these ridiculous prizes. So I'd use this quiz on the family on like the 5th of 6th of December. We had this big party. A cousin had moved into a flat. It was a great night. I always put a suit jacket on. I had my microphone in my pocket and everything. And it doesn't sound funny, Dave, but it always goes down pretty well. Chris is the quiz master. And we did it throughout the summer. We always had like a family quiz, and I'm the quiz master, and I just randomly will just throw something together. So I did this one at work, very much in the style of Gareth. So I used the same quiz I'd used on the family, right? So it was nothing like you wouldn't know, Dave. There was about 60 people in this room at work. Obviously, before we could, you know, social distance. In the main office, everyone was going mad. Who the fuck has done this quiz? And there was still like, there was footy ones, there was TV ones, but nobody knew him. And everyone's like, who? And then someone, it's Chris Phelps. They're like, you fucking dickhead, you. Well, all the guys, Dave, at my place. I mean, we've got office staff there and everything. You know, we're a bit more fucking, they tone it down a little bit. Well, all the lads don't give a fuck. Like, you're a Belen Phelps. We're going to fucking lever you after this. And I'm like, well, it's not my fault you're all uneducated. So we started in a bit of a, you know, like a bit of banter backwards and forwards.
Banter.
Like proper, like, you are fucking, I hate banter. You know, I hate that word. But yeah, I'm like, in the end, I was like, oh, fuck off. I said, you fucking need to start reading more then, don't you? And so one of the lads is like, I'm going to get you after this. And then, because they lost, but some guy got every single question right and their quiz won. And I went over to him and I went, fucking, I said, you must be really clever. He went, no, he goes, I do the pub quizzes. I use this the other week for my life. Oh, you wanker. But yeah, I've been there, Dave. I've been there, and it's not nice when you've got a room full of people wanting baying for your blood when they don't know any of the questions.
Yeah. That's a good one, that one. But yeah, I think I saw some of the behind the scenes stuff, and they were talking about, you know, quizzes do bring out the worst in people, because even Ricky, who, you know, he's a bit of a new starter there, isn't he? He's been pretty quiet. You know, he's been there since episode one, but he's, you know, just been quiet, gone about his business, hasn't he? But even he's getting wound up by Finchie, and then he tries to fire him a question about insects, and then Finchie's like, a spider is an arachnid, not an insect. And then you can see why Brent, he wants this kind of, he thinks there's like this reflected glory coming off Finchie, you know, because he is quite you know, he's got a lot of general knowledge and stuff. And Brent's like, eight legs, not six legs, count them. He's just like being a fucking dick. But, I mean, what I like is you can see as well that Brent is just fucking off Finchy, isn't he? Because what's one of the questions? It's who did the song Don't Speak? And Finchy writes down like, No Doubt. And then Brent's like, oh yeah, No Doubt, of course. And Finchy's like, well, why did you say Four Non-Blondes? And, and then Brent's like, I've got down Hootie and the Blowfish. Yeah, let's move on. You can see he's just getting more and more irritated because the pressure's on, because he knows that, or Finchy knows that he could get beat in this quiz. So you just see this bubbling tension. And I think it's fantastic. But Chris, the story about Brent's dad being in a home and, you know, he thought he was going to get attacked by a Japanese sniper. You know, that was set up early in the episode. Brent gets a call, doesn't he, from the doctors? The quiz is going on. And he's like, oh, I'm totally snowed under at work. But do you know who sang in the summertime?
Oh, Jerry.
And he comes back and he gestures at the page, doesn't he? He whispers into Finch's ear. He's like, got that? It's like, oh yeah, got it, nailed it.
Fucking brilliant. It's so good. It's so good, Dave. Because obviously, later on, you've got Afterlife where his dad is in a home, isn't it, Ricky Gervais? Yeah. So it's little things. I don't know whether it's meant as a thing. It probably isn't, but it's so good. And I agree. But Dave, there's two bits in this that get me every set. I mean, I was laughing before at him doing Thomas the Tank Engine, which I know isn't funny, but when I see it every time, it's just hilarious. But it's the bit when they've lost the quiz. Well, they've drew the quiz and it goes to a tie break, doesn't it? And obviously, we go through all of Shakespeare plays. Fucking Finchy's just shouting. And then eventually, Ricky gets it and he shouts Tempest. And Ricky's, it's that bit when he's having a go, Finchy, blaming David. Name the Cuban leader.
It's just, I know you don't like the word banter, but you know, Finchy's properly fucking pissed off, isn't he? He's being nasty. And Brent's like, banter. He's like, it's not banter. but the line, Chris, I'll let you tell it, because
it's just hilarious. He just goes, right, come on then. So, name the Cuban leader who's been in power since the revolution in 1959. Go on. What did you say? And then Brent's like trying to get his old... He's like got his tie, his fucking head's down, and and everyone's around him. I can't correlate how you would even come up with this as an answer.
It's like Fray Bentos. It fucking gets me every time. Just again, the delivery of it. So again,
it's fucking,
I know,
hilarious. You
know, for our other podcasts, we have quite a lot of American listeners, don't we? So they might not be aware. But for Fray Bentos, are like these cheap shit pies that you get in a tin. You know, and I used to think they were quite posh, you know, when I was a student and fucking had no money at all. But it's just fucking brilliant, Fray Bentos. Oh, but then he tries to deflect, doesn't he? And so, you know, we get on to... Finchy's trying to rewrite the rules then, isn't he? You know, he's like, you know, I can throw a kettle over a pub, and he's telling this story, and Ricky's like, Finchy's trying to redo, you know, the quiz, saying if I can throw something over, you know, this building or whatever, you know, that's the quiz. And, you know, Brent's jumping right in on it. It's the way that Ricky's like, you're such a bunch of sad little men. You know, which is right. But Gareth pops his head over. You know, he's joined in the crowd then of Brent and Finchy, hasn't he? He's like, he's thrown the kettle over a pub. What have you done? Like it's winning a gold medal in the Olympics or something. Oh, and then, you know, and then you do get Lee, to your point earlier, that he is a bit of a nasty prick as well, you know, so... I can't even think now. It might have been Lee who's initiating it. You know, get his shoes off, you know, because he's the birthday boy. And when he's down on the floor, that's where it is getting a bit out of hand, isn't it? You know, it's obviously the alcohol's flowing. And Brent's like, tickle him, tickle him. And he's on the floor. And then they go outside. Now, Chris, I have to say, this always takes me out of it. Because they come outside and you see the Wernham Hog sign there.
You know what? I'd never noticed that till this time.
Yeah. This building has obviously got, you know, it's a semi-successful paper merchant, apparently, but it's also got its own bar and kind of, you know, little
it's a social
function
club
area. Yeah, it's a little social club downstairs as well, isn't it?
But Dave, you know, like the whole idea of this, right? And we have a, you know, I still laugh about that story, but, you know, the story we had after football that night, and you know, that one of our friends had said he was so adamant he could beat another lad in a race and was going to bet us money. And he was going to bet us money. And we thought, we were like, what? And he was dead serious that next week he was going to bring his running trainers and race some lad who we thought was faster than him. And I've never known anything like it. It's hilarious, hilarious story. He laughs about it himself. He laughs about himself when I say it to him, but he's like,
oh, really?
What the hell? Yeah. I'm like, I'd never forget that. I mean, you looked at each other like, what? Does it matter? I mean, I'm slow as fuck, so I could beat anyone in a race, but this is straight out of that I will not be defeated rule. But if someone's got that Rocky Eye of the Tiger where they do not like losing, Dave, it doesn't matter what you say, all rationale goes out the window.
Yeah, I mean, let's set the context. This is not Rocky Eye of the Tiger. This is not Apollo Creed and Rocky legging it down the beach in Rocky 3, is it? I mean, a new lad came down to football, right, and he was pretty quick. And I think after the match, you and I just happened to talk and just mentioned, you know, and this other chap who, well, at the time, probably at least pushing 40, probably around the 39 David Brent kind of age group, wasn't
he? Yeah, yeah.
And it just happened to mention, the new lad there, he's rapid, isn't he? Really, really quick. Oh, yeah, I could beat him. And it is like a combination of Brent and Finchie in that moment. I do remember you and I looking, you know, it's just like, what the fuck?
It doesn't matter, does it? But it does. And to come back to your point about the quizzes, Dave, this same quiz I did for work, and I said I did the one for the family. This is God's honest truth on my life. The top prize for the family do, even though there's Cliff Richard records, was a Frey Bentos pie. That is no bullshit. I had it because my dad had given it me, because he knew I loved The Office, and he'd given me a Frey Bentos pie for my birthday in November as a piss take. You know, it was one of my presents. And I went, that's a fucking Frey. So that was the main prize. And Sam's cousin's father-in-law at the time, he won the prize because his picture was on Facebook with a Frey Bentos pie and everything. However, that night descended into literally a punch-up because the quiz and Sam's family are horrendous for absolute being so competitive. They're all like competitive athletes and everything. And anything. And what happened was someone was using the phone and they were Googling it. So we were in a flat where we're all stood around. Exactly. I'm doing the quiz. But we're all stood around in, like, say, a 3 meter square area. So there's nowhere to go. What was happening was the little one was like behind two of the big guys checking, and it all kicked off. And I mean, to the point where a brother and sister squared up, someone went on the balcony, someone left, and I'm like, well, we're not doing this again. And we haven't, and to be fair, we've done outside quizzes, obviously in lockdown we had to do, but we've not done a proper full-on Chris quiz, because I actually said to everyone, and you know I'm not like one for kicking off, I went, the prizes are fucking shit. Does it matter? Yeah. You're better off not winning them. You know what I mean? But yeah, it ended in very similar to this. It ended up in literally in a full punch-up. Someone called someone's mum and all this. It was magnificent.
But for this, you know, it's a bottle of champagne, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's not really anything to get het up about. And, you know, Finchie's outside, of course. You know, he does throw the shoe over the building. And, you know, it's a combination, Chris, when I watch this scene of, hilarity, but I also just feel really bad for Tim. You know, it's his birthday. He's had his shoes yanked off him. He's got this fucking prick, you know, chucking his shoe over the building. He's basically bullied him. But honestly, when, like, the girl from accounts goes over, she says, oh, yeah, it came right past me. You know, so she clarifies that it, you know, the shoe did go over the building successfully. And then he's, and then Finchie's right up in Ricky's face and he's like, screw Blockbusters, screw Bob Holness, screw your Gold Rush. You've got both of them because Brent's behind him there, isn't he? You're shit.
Oh, is that the way he puts his hands in the air and his head back in? He's like, oh, shit. In the suit, it's fucking hilarious, Dave. And poor Tim. Poor Tim, as everyone disperses, Gareth kicks the fucking cock, doesn't he, and everything. Yeah. And Tim's just like, what the fuck?
He just legs it, though, doesn't he? Like a naughty schoolboy. He's like, oh, I've been caught on camera.
What an episode.
Also, Brent, when he's like, you know, when they're giving it to Ricky's, you know, and I don't think, does Finchie actually say University of Life? But he's, again, he's just got this massive fucking chip on his shoulder about students. And then Brent's in Ricky's face, he's like, life. Just thinking, what an absolute bell end, you know. So again, he's riding on the coattails of Finchie, who fucking despises him. And so, you know, you end this episode and you think, well, I think you feel most sorry for Tim. You know, he's just been shit on. So someone tried to nick his Hat FM hat, even, you know, and he managed to keep that on him, but he's hobbling around to get his shoe back and everyone just fucks off. But you're also thinking, Brent, you're pathetic. You know, you really are pathetic.
And it's sad because his whole life is the job. Everyone he's got is the job because of the way he is. I'd, honestly, like Finchie, the more I've watched this a couple of times before I've recorded, Finch is just an arsehole. He's a great character because you always go Chris Finch. We all know who he is and he's played so well by Ralph. But it's like 20 years later, you're like, you're a bastard, Dave, and it's brilliant that you feel he's like a baddie in some respects, but idolizes because the other episode about looking up a skirt and that, Dave, is hilarious. The delivery, it's all on an answer machine, isn't it, and stuff, and it's just so well done. Again, Ricky Gervais is so good at that.
Yeah. Now, Chris, what is your favorite moment from this episode?
I think it's got to be the Frey Bentos bit. It just gets me every... I love the Thomas the Tank Engine bit, but the Frey Bentos one is hilarious, Dave, because I just can't correlate how, as a gag, how they've written that, and it's still funny 20 years later, and how it's come to pass that logically someone would go Frey fucking Bentos. I don't know, but I just love that scene. It's so good.
You know what? I forgot to tell you, I was walking up the old middle aisle, you know, that treasure chest that is the middle aisle, and they did have some Frey Bentos pies. And like I say, I don't particularly like these things, but I did consider buying it. And then I was like, why would I do that? I'm not going to fucking eat it. I just want to buy a Frey Bentos pie for this episode. But, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to be a bit boring. I will give an honourable mention. I do love the delivery where Finchie's like, screw Blockbusters, you know, because there's just so much of a fucking chip on his shoulder and there's so much anger and hate and frustration born from this feeling of inadequacy from him. And, you know, you've met loads of people like that in your life, haven't you? And you're like, right, you lost the fucking quiz, and now you've just thrown a fucking shoe over a building and you think that means you've now beat me. You know, you've just chosen something else, fucking some nonsense, you know, and now that's the game. So, yeah, I do like that bit as well. But the delivery, Chris, the timing, it's the fact that Brent doesn't look like he's acting, and he kind of sheepishly sort of fiddles with his tie, doesn't he? He's like, looks at the camera, Frey Bentos. It's just brilliant. So I'm afraid it's the same moment from me as well on that one.
Oh, it's brilliant, Dave. And hey, Dave, it's just so good, the episode. And I want to thank everyone, actually, Dave, because we launched you know, the first two episodes, and they've been so well received. I know I can't, you know, we both, not me, just me, we both can't thank you enough, guys. It's been brilliant. So much buzz about it. And we're just dead pleased that people are understanding where our friendship was born, for the love for this show. And we're going to keep doing it. So yeah, we're releasing episodes every 2 weeks if you're not up to speed. So every Monday, every second week, we'll be going through each episode of the series, specials, second series special again. So, and we're going to finish with Life on the Road, aren't we, Dave? Which is just going to be the nice full stop of it all. So yeah, big thanks to everybody on that.
Awesome. Now, Chris, how can everyone get in contact with us?
Well, if you want to come and, you know, throw a shoe at me and Dave, then get over to Twitter, guys, or Instagram at Back to the Off. And if you want to email us, backtotheofficepodcast@gmail.com. And honestly, any questions, any emails, get them in and we'll read them out, because we absolutely loved going through this. And if you have just come across me and Dave, and you're not sure where we are, what we're about, we have other podcasts as well, guys. So have a look for the VHS Strikes Back, where me and Dave review movies going back from about 2005 backwards. Some brilliant movies, some absolutely terrible movies. And then we also have the Comics in Motion Network, where we're over there. We do the TV movie reviews, and we've got loads of people. And also we have the CD Reality Cast, which is Chris and Dave's Reality Cast, where me and Dave, and I sucker Dave in a couple of years ago, and we watch reality TV. And sometimes Dave hates me for that. So if you want to listen to some of our other shows, then get over there, guys, and join the conversation. It's great fun.
Awesome. Now, Chris, I must admit, I think this is the funniest episode. It's been building up and building up. So each episode's been better than the last. And next episode, we've got the training day.
That's so fucking amazing.
So amazing. I cannot wait. And probably I'm going to go and watch that straight away now. Probably watch it a couple of times before we record next. But Chris, what are you going to finish us off with?
Well, Dave, all I'm going to say to you is, can you name the Cuban leader who was in power since the revolution in 1959?
Fray Bentos?
Nope. Orange Pies, Dave. Terrible. That's a terrible joke.
Screw you and screw your blockbusters. Screw Bob Holness and screw your Gold Run.
Bye.
Bye now.
So what becomes of you, my love, when they finally strip you off the handbags and the glad rags that your poor old granddad had to sweat to buy you? Boy, and all I thought I had to do was smile. Well, you were still a young girl, and you do everything in style. Cause once you think you're in, rags that your poor old granddad had to sweat to buy you. Sing a song of sixpence for your sake, and take a pocket full of rye. Four and 20 blackbirds in a cage, the handbags and the glad rags that your poor old granddad had to sweat to buy you. The handbags and the glad rags that your poor old granddad had to sweat to buy you. Ooh.